our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Thanks, Val, for being with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's a major journey for Valerie to get from California to Massachusetts, but here we are in a little studio together, and it's a delight to have you, Val.
She came leaving
six of her seven children behind, but she brought the littlest one along. He's being taken care of today by somebody else. We've talked on various occasions, Val, about child raising. We've had many very positive responses from our listeners about those things. I would particularly like to hear today some of the things that you've been learning very recently in your marriage. You've been married how many years?
17 years.
17 years. And it takes a long time for some of us to learn things. And as the British say, it takes a while for the penny to drop. Has any penny dropped in the last couple of years in your life, yours and Walt's?
Yes, I would definitely say that we have learned to rest in God just in this past year much more than we ever did before. Walt, because he has always wanted to be a successful minister, spent many, many years going through depressions and failures and discouragements, and wasn't really trusting in God's work and trusting in God's doing the results as he was trying to be faithful. And I, as a mother, spent many, many years feeling like a failure and thinking that it was all up to me to raise these children perfectly, and seeing that they weren't being raised perfectly, I felt like I would never get close to God like I wanted to, or I would never be pleasing to God as I thought I should be. Well, in the last year, we began to take Galatians, the book of Galatians, seriously, much more than we ever had before. We began to see that it was for freedom that Christ had set us free. We began to believe that he wanted us to be joyful now about the gospel, and to live in the presence of his love, and not to be thinking that it was someday in the future that we would really feel like he was going to love us if we could be successful. So, as I said, we've both felt like failures, and yet in this past year we've begun to see that it's Christ who does everything for us, and it's Christ who is our righteousness and our security, and because we realize we're failures, we see all the more how much to depend upon Christ and rejoice in him alone rather than rejoice in our successes.
But love always desires the perfection of the beloved, doesn't
it?
In Ephesians 5, where the husband is told that he's to love his wife and lay down his life for his wife, that he may present her to himself, or the analogy is, as Christ laid down his life for the church, that he might present her a spotless and pure bride. So there are always the two sides to what we're talking about here. We are sinful and fallible, and we do fail. And we can't live up even to our own expectations, can we?
No, we can't.
At least if we can, then I would say our expectations are too low. But you have found this freedom because you know that regardless of your performance, that God does love you. Sometimes I think there's a temptation, especially in today's emotional climate, of just thinking, well, all of these things, they're not really my fault. There really isn't anything I can do about them, and why should I worry myself about them anyway? I'm okay, you're okay, so I'm just going to be laid back, and you got to love me the way I am. What do you think about that attitude?
No, I think we are to strive every day, every moment of the day, to please the Lord. And it is work. It's not sitting back being laid back, and yet at the same time it's an understanding of our position in Christ, that we are completely free to relax in his love while we are working hard to obey him. And as long as we keep the perspective that we can obey him through his Holy Spirit and he can help us to do what's right, then I think we can be, in a sense, laid back and working hard at it at the same time. Do you understand what I'm saying? That our position makes us feel relaxed. And we have a friend named Elizabeth Lasker who says she has been learning to sit in the lap of God's sovereignty, and she's comforted and resting in that. And I feel like I've finally learned that I can be secure. Even though I fail over and over again, I can be secure that Christ has forgiven me and I am justified in Christ as I continue to realize how much I must depend upon him to help me to do what's right. And, of course, when I fail, I can run to him, run to Christ, and I can repent, I can ask forgiveness, and I'm immediately forgiven.
We couldn't even take the next breath, could we, if it weren't for God?
Right.
And the verse that comes to mind that brings these two seemingly contradictory concepts together is the one that says, work out your own salvation. Mm-hmm. With fear and trembling, for
God is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Those two words, fear and trembling, are words that seem to be lost in a lot of people's notion of our relationship to God, which I think we need to restore. It is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. We see a lot of people who are Christians who don't seem to have the kind of Christian wisdom that they should have, and perhaps it's because there really has been lacking the fear of the Lord, which means literally fear in the first place. I think George MacDonald says something about until we learn to love perfectly, it is well that we should fear in the sense of really being afraid of God. And isn't there something like that in C.S. Lewis's Narnia books, the fear, being afraid of the lion?
Yes, because he's a safe lion, but he's terrible. Is that what they say?
No, he's not a safe lion.
He's not a safe lion.
He's not a tame lion. But he loves the children in the book. Mm-hmm. Those of
I
you
think
who
a sense of God's holiness is what we need. The fact that we are so unholy and so unloving and so selfish is brought more and more clear to us as we focus on his holiness and his perfection and his love and his unconditional love, whereas our love is so conditional and so fickle. And what we've been learning, what my husband and I have been learning, is that the more we focus on Christ and his holiness and his obedience, the more our disobedience comes clearly into focus too, and yet the more we can be thrilled with the fact that because Christ was obedient, he is our high priest, and he understands our infirmities and our failures, and he loves us, and he's tender-hearted towards us because we're made of dust. And so we're just seeing that we don't get to certain levels of maturity and think that we've got it made, or we think that we really understand the gospel. What we're learning is that the more we practice Christ's presence and focus on his holiness, the more he's going to show us how much we need him day by day and hour by hour. I used to think that as I got older, I would sin less, but I think what I'm learning now is that as I'm getting older, I see my sin more clearly, and I see how sinful my heart is, and yet how glorious is the love and holiness of Christ.
And it was the vision of God's holiness that revealed to Isaiah the prophet
his unclean lips,
how helpless he was. His cry immediately was, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Mm-hmm. And here was a great prophet of God just repenting, as it were, in dust and ashes. And there's a hymn that says, they who fain would serve him best are conscious most of wrong within. Mm-hmm. The deeper our desire to serve Christ, the more conscious we become of how far we are from meeting his standard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you and Walt have been learning.
Yes, and we're so thankful the Lord has been opening our eyes, because Walt says that so much of his ministry he spent in anger because he couldn't do what was right, and the people in the churches didn't seem to want to do what was right, and he was frustrated most of the time and discouraged most of the time. And I can say that in my raising of the children, I most of the time was frustrated that I couldn't seem to make them perfect like I wanted to. And yet now we feel like the Lord has been showing us that it's his righteousness and his grace that draws us closer to himself, and it's not our performance and it's not our success.
I think that word frustration is one that shouldn't have a place in a Christian's life, because to me it implies anger at one's own helplessness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be getting angry at our own helplessness. It is our helplessness that should constantly remind us to turn to the Lord.
Right.
And he is always merciful, isn't he?
He's always there to be tenderheartedly forgiving us.
And he always has the remedy, as he did with Isaiah. When Isaiah cried out, "I'm a man of unclean lips," he said, then the angel flew with a coal from the altar and purified those lips with a coal from God's altar. And he has his own ways of purifying us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.